Call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order. Welcome, everyone. Today is kind of a big day for the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee. We've had several hearings on these agenda items, which is our Oregon Stability Package. And today, it's time to move the ball forward, and that is what we are going to do. So I will open a work session on SJR 26. Paul.
Madam Chair, member of the committee, you have a -3 amendment to SJR 26, which is a rewrite of the measure. And what that does is as you recall, originally we had a revision. This follows the trend from the -1 that amends the makes an amendment of the Constitution, creates the Emergency Reserve Fund, and then it does retain the surplus kicker calculations. In the case of the personal kicker, 50% will go to the Emergency Reserve Fund that's established in the measure. 50% would be returned to taxpayers until the reserve fund hits 14% of the prior biennium general fund revenue, and then the entire amount would be returned to taxpayers. The corporate kicker calculation is retained, but any excess revenue that's above the forecast or the 2% trigger is met would go to the Emergency Reserve Fund or a subaccount within that fund. The measure goes before voters in November of 2012. Revenue impact for 11-13 there, they would first apply to calculations following the 11-13 biennium, so there is no impact for 11-13. Beyond that, the impact depends on the accuracy of the forecast, and so since we're using the current law forecast, we don't have a precise number for that, and you'll see some numbers when you look at one of your later bills, on average, the provisions of SJR 26 would amount to about 2.4% of general fund revenue per biennium, but that would be, by its definition, unpredictable as to when that would occur.
Thank you, Paul. Senator Morris, could we have a motion on the -3 amendment?
Madam Chair, I move the -3 amendments to SJR 26, dated 5/2/11.
Senator Morris has moved the -3 amendment to SJR 26. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Morris.
Madam Chair, I move SJR 26 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation and the subsequent referral to the Committee on Rules be rescinded.
Senator Morris moves SJR 26 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation and the subsequent referral to the Committee on Rules be rescinded. Is there any discussion? Those of the opinion that SJR 26 should be reported to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation and the subsequent referral to the Joint Committee Committee on Rules be rescinded will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The committee assistant will call the roll.
Senator Haas?
Aye.
Senator Telfer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Morris?
Aye.
Chair Burdick?
Aye. The motion has passed. Carriers will be Senators Burdick and Morris. Now we will open a work session on Senate Bill 968. Paul.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 968, you have before you a -3 amendment for 968. Just to remind you that the amendment does replace the bill, but most all the concepts are retained. It establishes a method for allocating biennial projected general fund revenue. A couple of changes from your prior -2 amendment is it leaves unappropriated forecasted amount of revenue above the rate of personal income growth up to 2%. The prior rendition was 3%, and then there's no designation for revenue growth that exceeds the rate of personal income plus the 2%. So that would become dollars for general purposes. And this, like the previous amendments, this measure would not take effect unless SJR 26 is approved by voters.
Right. And committee, the effect of this amendment is to simplify Senate Bill 968, which was a little bit flummoxing to some people. and to also give a little bit more flexibility on how revenues are used after the 2% over forecast is saved, over the metric that we are using is saved. So we have a dash three amendment. Senator Morse?
Madam Chair, I move the dash three amendments to Senate Bill 968, dated 4-26-11.
Senator Morse has moved the dash three amendment to Senate Bill 968. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Morse?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 968 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Morse moves Senate Bill 968 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Clerk will please call the roll.
Senator Hass?
Aye.
Senator Talbot?
Aye.
Vice Chair Morse?
Aye.
Chair Burdick?
Aye. The motion has passed. Now we will open a work session on Senate Bill 553. Paul.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 553 was a bill that you heard some time ago. There was there is a dash one amendment to it that makes some clarifying changes to it.
Dash two.
I'm
sorry. Excuse me. Close the work session on Senate Bill 553. We are not taking action on that. Too many threes here. We're going to open the work session on Senate Bill 883.
Okay.
Okay, Paul.
Yes, Madam Chair, you're correct. This is a dash two amendment on this one.
I thought I caught you for once.
The dash two amendment is a replacement for the measure. And I've written up a lengthy revenue impact statement on this. What it does is it creates a two-tiered structure for treatment of long-term capital gains. Long-term capital gains are defined as those assets held for more than 5 years. It creates a separate subtraction for assets that have been used primarily for income-producing activities, real and tangible personal property held in Oregon, starting 1-1-13. Sale of those assets, sales after 1-1-13, would receive a 50% subtraction going forward. The bill then creates a second tier for all other assets that would yield capital gains realizations as defined by the IRS but are held for 5 years or more. We estimate that's the largest overwhelming proportion of those assets. In that case, there would be an eight-year period in which a subtraction would start at 5% in the 13 tax year and would grow incrementally 5% each year. Until 2020, in which it was 40%. At that point, the 40% would become the law going forward. So once the full phase in assets of real property, capital gains from real property held in Oregon would have a 50% subtraction, those other capital gains held for more than 5 years would have a 40% when that's fully phased in. You can see our estimated revenue impact on the revenue impact statement. There is no impact for 11-13 because of the start date of 1-1-13, we estimate $77 million in 13-15 and about $155 million in 15-17. And on the back of your revenue impact statement, you see our detailed spreadsheet that I've shared with you over the last couple of weeks, and that lays out the assumptions and how those estimates were derived.
Okay, and this is part of a package, so if you combine the revenue impacts of the SJR 26, the positive impacts of sequestering the money into the emergency reserve fund, and subtract the impacts of the capital gains reduction, what are those numbers that you achieve?
Madam Chair, on the back of the spreadsheet, we did calculate, as I mentioned, on SJR 26, what the expected value would be from the provisions of SJR 26 based on the history of the surplus kicker over the last 30 years. That would amount to 2.4% of general fund revenue for that biennium. And so we went ahead and plugged in that 2.4% to the projections, current law projections for general fund revenue, and in the 13-15 biennium, that would be about $387 million. In the 19-21 biennium, would be $517 million. So throughout that period, the 2.4% would exceed the estimated revenue impact from the capital gains provision. I would, however, remind you that we don't know when those revenues will occur by definition. Another thing is, of course, what we've seen historically is in those periods where we get a kicker, it usually means we've underestimated capital gains.
Okay. So the effect of both the capital gains reduction and the SJR 26 is to stabilize the system.
Yes, and I should also say that in those periods where we've underestimated revenue, it usually means we way underestimate capital gains.
Right.
And that's been the recent experience.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Telfer.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Just a point of clarification, net capital gains, long-term capital gains, means we're pulling the figure off the Schedule D of the federal tax return that nets the long-term capital losses against the long-term capital gains.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, thanks.
All right. We have a Dash 2 amendment putting this into Senate Bill 883, which really doesn't follow this content very much. But so the amendment is a replacement for the bill. Senator Morris.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 883, dated 5-3-11.
Senator Morris has moved the Dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 883. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Morris.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 883 as amended with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral.
No.
We're not doing that.
No, just move it straight.
Just move it straight.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, I'll amend that motion. I move Senate Bill 883 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morris has moved Senate Bill 883 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will please call the roll.
Senator Hatch?
Aye.
Okay. Senator Telfer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Morris?
Aye.
Chair Burdick?
Aye.
The motion has passed. We will now open a work session on Carrier will be Senator Telfer. We will now open a work session on Senate Bill 754. Paul.
Madam Chair, 754, you've also heard earlier in the context of the stability package, and if I can find it here, 754. Creates a subaccount within the emergency reserve fund that would be established by SJR 26. So if SJR 26 is not approved, then this would not go into effect. The subaccount is for higher education stability and higher education, including community colleges, would be eligible for withdrawals from the fund when certain conditions are met. It then goes in and establishes once the subaccount hits 15% of the prior biennium general fund appropriation to community colleges and higher ed, the additional dollars that go into that account would flow into a capital sub-account of the higher education stability sub-account. And also, of course, the revenue that flows into that account would be from the 2% surplus kicker calculation for corporate income.
Okay. We have a Dash 3 amendment on this. Senator Morris?
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 754, dated 4-26-11.
Senator Morris has moved the Dash 3 amendment to Senate Bill 754. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Morris.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 754 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morse has moved Senate Bill 754 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Senator Hass?
Aye.
Senator Telford?
Aye.
Vice Chair Morse?
Aye.
Chair Burdick?
Aye. The motion has passed, and Senator Hass will carry this bill. And committee, this is our shortest meeting on this subject. I want to thank all of my committee members for the hard work that's gone into this, and a good many members of the audience for the same. This is a package that won't please all parts of it will not please everyone, but we believe that this package will do a lot for Oregon to stabilize our system and provide a reliable source of funding for our vital services when we have an economic downturn. Is there any other discussion from the committee? We are adjourned. Committee? We are adjourned.